Today's scripture reading will come from Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 26. I will read it, and you just follow along. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that are you holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And he said to them, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers deliver him up to become condemned to death and crucify him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of an angel who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory?'" Deacon out.
Thank you, Brother Joseph, for that reading. Before we go to God's word, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, our glorious King, you are our Savior and our Redeemer. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we thank you for your word, because your word is lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Father, we pray that you will use your word this morning to cleanse us, to draw us close to you. And may we be blessed by the preaching of your word. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess when I put this and you put one, change one screen. Okay. Well, let's see the next slide. It's exciting. Back to the future. How many of you know what's Back to the Future? Wow, that many? Because that's a movie that was made in 1985, older than my son. Okay, so that was a movie that was produced by Steven Spielberg and played by Michael J. Fox. Do you know who that is? Okay. So the name of the movie is kind of oxymoron. It says Back to the Future. Usually future is forward, right? How can you back to the future? I guess because the first episode, it talks about that. Now, they have a time machine, that wacky professor that Michael J. Fox played a high school student called Marty McFly. His name is McFly. So, and when they were trying to travel to the future, they use a machine, which is a DeLorean sports car. Do you know what a DeLorean sports car is? Yeah. At that time, that was the only car that what? The door would swing upward. Okay, now you see those million-dollar sports car, Lamborghini, all those swing upward, right? They don't open the door this way. They go up. So that was the car, that was the time machine they used to travel to the future. But these two person, they bumbling around, then they, when they gained the machine, they reverse it. Instead of going to the future, they went back. Okay, so today, what I want to do is I want to invite you to go back to biblical times with me, okay, to look at something and try to understand what God is trying to tell us. Now, but that was the machine, okay? That was the DeLorean, okay? And when you ask people, hey, we can take you back to biblical times, what would you like to do? What would you like to see? Some people might say that, well, I want to go back to way back when, that in Genesis, when God created the whole world. I want to see the first ray of light shoot across the blackness of the space, you know. And some people say, well, I might want to see the great flood, you know, and see Noah's ark, and with Noah and all the animal inside the ark. I want to see how it does. Is it bigger than the princess cruise ship or something like that? You know, as they say, it's a 3-football field long. Or some people say, well, I want to see the David maybe fighting the Goliath, and how he's the David slayed the giant. Okay, no, that's all Old Testament, right? Well, you know, let's go back, go a little bit closer to the New Testament. Or maybe you want to go to the scene where the shepherds were coming to worship baby Jesus in the manger, okay, to see, wow. And then, or maybe you want to see Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, seeing the Holy Spirit coming down like that. Wow, what a sight, right? Okay. Or maybe you want to see, well, Jesus feeding the 5,000. We have a mess when we're trying to feed 200, you know, after service. And imagine 5,000, just a man, okay? It doesn't include the women and the children feeding 5,000. That must be a sight, okay? But today, what I want you to go back with me to the biblical times is I want you to go with me to travel on the gospel road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. I didn't know how to pronounce that name either. So what I did was, like usually I do, get online and see how people read it. You know, so what they pronounce is Emmaus, okay? But if I go to the Chinese translation, usually that tells me how to read it, because the Chinese, they just translate phonetically. And it's almost like the local language, the original language you might pronounce is Emmaus. Okay, so whatever, that's Emmaus, and Emmaus, you know, is a village about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And the story starts as our presiding worship leader, Joseph, has read, that the story happened on the road to Emmaus. But before that, let's go back to give you a little bit back on history. Now, we're talking about the third day after Jesus was crucified. That was a Sunday morning, okay? Now, remember, on the Friday when Jesus was crucified, he died traditionally, things that he died at about 3 p.m., okay? And very soon, at sunset, the Sabbath will start. Really, by the time they take the cross down, take him to the cave where Joseph of Arimathea had given to bury Jesus, there's not enough time to properly prepare the body for proper burial. You know, they have to put all the spices and all that. So they just wrap him in linen and put him in the grave. At least he's in the grave. And then seal the grave with a stone, okay? Next slide. Okay. And here, that's what we have, that I call it, the law has risen, but nobody listens. And one more. Now here, starting in Luke chapter 24, verse 1, he's talking about first day of the week, that's Sunday. Okay, that's the Easter Sunday. And very early, you know, before you can see the light, the women that have been following Jesus from Galilee, and they witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus. And because of the coming of the Sabbath, they didn't have the time to properly prepare Jesus' body. So they went home and observed the Sabbath. And when the Sabbath was finished, and Saturday night, but it's dark, they couldn't do anything, so they have to wait until Sunday morning at the crack of dawn. They take the spices that they have prepared to go to the tomb so that they can properly prepare Jesus' body for the burial. And here, when they went to the tomb, they saw what? They saw the stone that was blocking the entrance as the from people stealing the body or anybody to disturb the body that was rolled away. And when they went inside, they what did they see? They did not see Jesus' body. What they see is two men. He is in the Gospel of Luke. Gospel, they refer them as angels. That they were there, and they asked the women a question. They asked them that, why do you seek the living among the dead? Okay. Now here, it also tells that the angel tells them that what? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, you know, way back when in Galilee, that what happened, what will happen to him? Now, this question is pretty interesting. Yeah? He say, the angel asking the women, said, why do you seek the living among the dead? Is that the purpose that the women went to the tomb? No, they want to seek the dead. They didn't intend to seek the living. They never imagined somebody is living, you know, who's alive in the tomb. Okay, let's see next slide. The angel tells us that, don't you remember that Jesus told you, and in fact, Jesus told the disciples many times that he'll be what? He would die and be raised on the third day. Okay, so he tells us that the Son of Man has been delivered to the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. Now after the angels reminded them, then they remember. Okay, and they ran back and go to see the 11 apostles, you know, knowing that, you know, Judas is gone, right? So you got 11 left. And they tell them, but what happened? Let's see what happened. We said that the angels remind the women that Jesus told them. Now, there are many passages in the Bible you can find there, but here in Luke chapter 9:22, then you see that Jesus was after feeding the 5,000, and when Jesus asked their disciples who do they think he was, and that's when he foretold them his death, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Okay. And also, in Psalm 16:10, now this is a psalm of David. David also foretold that, for you will not abandon my soul to show or let your Holy One see corruption, that the body will not be in the grave long enough to get decay. He'll be risen. Okay, so so here, then the women, what happened to the women? The women ran back to tell the 11 apostles. And did the apostle believe them? No, it's impossible. You know, yes, they have heard what Jesus told them. But sometimes when you hear something, but you couldn't really believe it, you don't know how. You have no way to conceive how could that happen. You couldn't keep in your heart. And also in the first century Palestine area, what is the social status of women? They're nobody, right? And the women were not considered as reliable witnesses. So their testimony, whatever testimony they give, cannot be counted. Okay, that's how the attitude was. So the people never believed what the women told them, okay? And then we didn't have the scripture up there. And also at the time, Peter also went to the tomb to verify the women's story to see whether they are telling the truth or not. And indeed, he found an empty tomb, Okay? And so Peter was scratching his head. He couldn't figure out why. Okay? Now, that was the background story, okay, before today's passage. So now we come to today's passage that, now, on the same day, now, we don't know how much time has elapsed, okay? The first news coming out from the people was that, hey, Jesus' body is missing. Hey, everybody. Now, at that time, there's no Facebook. There's no Twitter. So nowadays, or WhatsApp, you know, nowadays what? How you get around? You know, you put it into your cell phone, you know, boom, everybody got the news, right? What happened? At that time, no, just one tell another and tell another, you know. So everybody knew, okay? And that the body is missing, okay? The story, today's story starts that on that day, two of the disciples was going to a village named Emmaus. Now, Emmaus, it means hot springs. So it could be a village where there was some hot springs, okay, and over in that area. And but then nowadays, they could not accurately identify where is that village. There are several possible sites, so that's not important. But that's a village here, tells us, about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And these disciples, when they were walking, they talked to each other, okay? So, and as they are talking, and also here we notice that they are talking, let me see here, they were talking to each other about all these things that happened. Now, in other translations, they talk about that they were very animated. They were very, you know, Chinese people, very cool. You know, when we talk, we don't make no body language, right? But if you go down to Miami and Hispanic area, you know, everybody talk like this, you know, so very animated. So the disciples could be very animated. And also there were conjecture and a guess that, well, one of the disciples could be Luke. Some people say that. And some people say that, well, as later we see, Joseph already read that one of the disciples was named Cleopas, but the other disciple was not named. So some people say, well, that could be his wife. You know, that they were, and they were Jews, and they went to Jerusalem to observe the Passover, and the Passover was over. They went back to your hometown, to Emmaus. Okay, and then on the way home, they talk about all these things that, hey, you know, how could that happen, this and that. So, and they must walk very, very slow, okay? And I don't know what's the speed of a normal, I guess some people say if you walk briskly, you can walk 5 miles an hour, okay? And if you walk very slowly, you know, at a slow pace, maybe 2 to 3 miles an hour, okay? So the trip from Jerusalem to Emmaus, 7 miles, takes what? Maybe 3 hours, 3.5 hours, okay? But anyway, they were walking slowly and talking, you know, okay? They absorbed in the discussion. And Jesus came alongside, okay? Now, to us, it's very strange because now if we're talking to somebody, all of a sudden somebody comes up, we will just stop and say, who are you? What were you trying to do? You trying to eavesdrop while we're talking? Now, at that time, it's different. The society is different, and people are not so isolated. And also, when you travel, those roads, it's not like nowadays you got highways, and you got cops all over the place. No, this is, sometimes traveling on a road is very dangerous. Remember that when Jesus gave the parable, the Good Samaritan, you know, he's talking about people got robbed and beaten to half dead, you know, from what, from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jericho is the town that where the Levites live, you know, so... Even from those roads, so many people travel, there could be robbers. So in the old days, when they travel, if somebody join you, you're welcome them. Because then you got more people, the chances for getting robbed, or in case there are wild beasts come out, you know, you can help each other. So it's a common place that happened, okay? And here, the Bible tells us the eyes were kept from recognizing him. Now, you could be that they were so absorbed with the things. Later, we can tell, you know, why they are so immersed in their discussion that they even didn't notice about who that was walking beside them. Okay, they did not recognize them. Okay, and And Jesus did an amazing thing. He then tells them that, hey, what are you guys talking about? You know? And one of them, the Cleopas, just stopped. Both of them, they stopped walking. You know, one day they were walking along and talking to each other. And when Jesus asking, oh, what are you guys talking about? They just stopped. You know, everybody talk about the same thing. It doesn't matter. You go to have a cup of coffee or whatever that you're doing. Everybody talking about the same subject. You know, it was the reason why is because it was Passover week, Passover festival over that Jerusalem. Jews from all over the place, they go there to, according to the Levitical law, that they have to present themselves once before the Lord. So there are a lot of people in there. So everybody knew about that Jesus Christ was crucified, okay? And then on the Sunday, the news broke out that what? His body is missing. His body is missing. Nobody knows where he is, okay? So, of course, everybody talk about the same thing. So he turns around, Cleopas, to Jesus and asks him, where have you been? You know, what do you mean? What do you mean, what are we talking about? You must be the only tourist. At that time, there's no tourist, okay? So people don't travel for pleasure like nowadays, you know? But nowadays, you would say, you must be a tourist from Michigan. You know, you want to say it's hot? You know, no, yeah, that's how what weather we have, okay? So here, he's telling him that what happened these few days, okay? And next thing is, I don't think Jesus is trying to be smart. He just what? He asked him a question. What things, okay? What do you talk about? He's trying to draw them to answer, to tell them what they feel, because people sometimes, when they tell you things, may not be the facts. It's just how they perceive it, how they felt, okay? What happened? So Jesus trying to draw them out to tell him what do they think, okay? So next one. So then the disciples turning to him, turning to Jesus, and tell him the whole thing. They say, well, that's a Jesus of Nazareth, a man. They think he's a prophet, okay? He's mighty in deeds and word. Yes, from the teaching that we read in the four gospels and all the miracles that he has done, from all the healing that he has have performed and all the evil spirit he has driven out, sure, he got to be a prophet. He got to be a man of God, okay? And then what happened is that the chief priest and the rulers of the of Israel, they sent him to be condemned to death and crucify him, okay? Okay. Oh, come back. And, okay, and then originally, that the people, the disciples, were hoping that what Jesus is the one that who's going to redeem Israel. And now here, let's take a sidetrack. We say redeem. What's the word redeem? Go down. Okay. Now redemption. This concept. It's an English translation of the Greek word agorazo. Okay, now I looked this up. You know, I didn't know before. So agorazo means in what? It means to purchase in the marketplace. Now, what did they purchase? This is in slave trade. Okay, so redemption is what? You're buying a slave. Okay, so you free somebody from somebody else's control with payment. With a ransom. At that time, that's a word for redemption. Okay, the redemption, redeem, that's what it means. Okay, and that's where it came from. So nowadays, of course, we understand when we say redeem, we are redeemed because what? Jesus paid the ransom with his blood to get us, to purchase us. Okay, that's what redeem means. Okay, now we'll go back. And also here, it's also the third day since these things happened. Before, I also have questions. Why third day? Well, couldn't Jesus was crucified? After a couple of hours, he just jumped up and said, I'm alive. What happened? What's wrong with that? Okay, and then everybody go to observe the Sabbath. Isn't that wonderful? Right? But didn't happen that way. So I was thinking, now, the Bible didn't tell, I didn't find it in the Bible. So I was, this is only my thinking, okay? Now, when bad things happen, what do people usually do? We go into denial mode, right? Bad things happen. No, this is not happening. No, this is not happening. You know, I failed the test. I failed the exam. No. I study. No, it can't be, okay? So sometimes you wish you want to go to sleep, and when you wake up, oh, this is a bad dream. No, it's not real, okay? All right, so. But then with the passage of time, the bad things become more solid to you, doesn't it? You know there's no chance of for positive things to happen. It's real. It's real. People start to accept it, okay? I remember a personal experience that I didn't come from a well-to-do family. So I remember my grandfather, who worked all his life, and then in his old age, he came back from Mexico. You know, he went to work in Mexico. And then came back, and we were living in the town of Macau. And he had stroke before, so he was, you know, half paralyzed. He had high blood pressure. He had a lot of health problems. So when he's 70-something, that because of disease, he died. Okay. Now, very strange, in Macau, you can hear when somebody dies, what do? I haven't experienced it. Well, you have to call the funeral home, they come and take the body to prepare it, you know. But in Macau, apparently, now I was about 7 or 8 years old, so don't know much. You can call somebody in the government, they will send a doctor to certify the death. The body doesn't need to be removed, it stays in the home. And then you can do all kinds of religious ceremony, like the monks, the Taoists come and say the prayer and do all kinds of things, okay? So, his body was laying there in the living room. As a 7-year-old, I was looking at, you know, he looks just like he was sleeping, okay? So in my mind, I said, well, I don't know, maybe just at midnight, and he would just jump up and he woke up, you know? I actually had that imaginations. But then, because they have to prepare for all kind of ceremony, all it cannot be do right that day. So it's several days event. So, but as the day goes on, then I get to believe that no, he's not waking up. You know, that's it. You know, he's not waking up. Okay. Same thing. You know, here I think why God let Jesus stay in the tomb and then the third day he's risen is because nobody would say that he didn't die. Even so, there's still a lot of theory that say, oh, Jesus just fainted. You know, then later he woke up and all that kinds, but it's impossible. And also another example is, you remember that when Jesus' good friend Lazarus, when he gets very sick, you know, he's going to die, his sister Martha and Mary send word to Jesus, hey, come, Lord. Because they think that if Jesus arrived in time and Jesus would do that healing thing, miracle, then he'll be okay. But what Jesus did, he tailed along. He's just like sometimes like wives, you know, husband complain about wives getting out of the house. They always do that, do this and that, you know. They drag along. Jesus what? Didn't go there until 3 days later. Why? Because also similar reason that Jesus wanted to make sure Lazarus is dead. Make sure he's dead, okay, so that he can bring him back to life. Okay, so I think that's why that was the third day was in there. Okay, next. And then on top of all this, now they were saying that, you know, on top of all these things, bad things happen, then these women, okay, and amaze us. They shock us. They give us a shocking news that, why? Because when they go to the tomb, they say it's empty. And also they had the vision of an angel say that he's alive, okay? And some of us, he didn't name it, but actually it was Peter, went to the tomb and check it out and find out, yeah, exactly like the women said, okay? So that's what they see, okay? Now, Now, let's recap. Let's recap what the Cleopa has said. You know, said, now this is the gospel according to him. Now, from all he was telling Jesus, that's the purpose of Jesus trying to draw it out from him. Why tell what happened? Okay, let's, before you can correct somebody, let's see what he thinks. So Cleopa was in his mind, and it is, and his representative of the disciples, of the people at that time, that they think Jesus was a prophet. Well, sure, he's a prophet. You know, he performed all this miracle, but he's more than a prophet. He was the savior. Okay, and also here, the second one is, according to Cleopa, they understand that what? It's not the Roman government that has crucified Jesus. They put the blame squarely on the religious leaders, the chief priests, and which, who they represent. They represent the sinners of the world. The sinners, it's the sinners that crucified Jesus. Okay, so he was right on there. And then they say Jesus can no longer redeem us, because in their mind that they were hoping that Jesus, what? He can do all that. He can fit 5,000 people. Imagine, you know, he can fit the whole army. So we don't have to worry about running out of food, provisions for the army. So he's going to take us, what? He's going to be our great political leader or even military leader, to take us to, so that we can break the bondage from the Roman government. Now, how they think, you know? For most of us that come to faith, to believe in Jesus Christ, when we first believe what we have been told, right? Jesus is the Messiah. Okay? We accept it very easily. Okay? Because that's what we are told. When we first learn about Jesus Christ, we are told that Jesus is the Messiah. But do you know the Jewish people? They knew about the Messiah. We didn't know until we know Jesus Christ, and we say, oh, Messiah is equal Jesus. Jesus Christ is equal Messiah. That's how we understand. But for Jewish people, that's different. Jewish people, they from the book of Prophets, they know that God has promised a Messiah. A Messiah come to save them. Okay? But the problem is, in their mind, they think the Messiah will be the great military leader or political leader going to lead them to restore the glorious kingdom of Israel. That's what they were thinking. So they never put the two together and connected the dot. Okay, so and they didn't know that God's plan is more eternal than temporary on this earth. Okay, so that's why sometimes it's so difficult for Jewish people to come to Christ, because they cannot connect the dot. And a lot of times when somebody who understands it, they have almost an aha moment. And do you ever have an aha moment? When you see something, finally you realize, aha! Okay, so then you say, oh, now that's what it means. You know, when the Bible said, when the Old Testament said, that they Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one that he come to save them. Okay, so here that disciples were wrong on their account, and also Jesus certainly dead after 3 days, right? So all hopes are dashed. The hope that maybe he will come back is impossible. And also next thing is Jesus' body is reported missing. How can a body be missing? You know, now remember we read that Jesus had told them before, but because either they don't remember, just like us, sometimes we read the Bible, we forget, we don't remember the details, okay? Or they don't believe. It's impossible. How it's inconceivable that would happen. So they never even think about it remotely that that's possible. Okay. And then Cleopas, that someone among us has verified the body missing. So it's true. It's not just the women that we don't normally take the word for it. It's true. This is what he thinks. Then what next? And then Jesus told them, what? He's pretty rough, right? They call them foolish. He called them foolish ones. Now, and they did not believe what the prophet had said. And don't you remember that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and then enter into his glory? Okay, so then what did Jesus do? Jesus, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. So here, Moses and the prophets, what does it mean? Now, the Hebrew Bible, the Bible for the Jewish people, they only have the Old Testament, right? That we are all clear, right? They don't have the New Testament. But also the Old Testament, they have all the Hebrew Bible, have all the books, same books as we do, okay? But they arrange differently. Okay, and also the division is different. So they have the laws, the five books of Moses, that is called the Torah. And if you go to Israel and go into the West Wall, where they were praying, you know, at the West Wall, the Wailing Wall. Now, when I visited there, I didn't know why the wall has some cabinet in there. Well, it's some Jewish group, they bought it. I mean, they have to pay for everything. So inside there, they're storing a Torah. That is the Bible. That's the law of Moses. They have it in there. So when they pray, the group, they would take it out, okay? And somebody was carrying it when they were praying, the whole group praying. And then when it finished, they would put it back, okay? So that was the Torah. And then the next thing is the prophets, okay, the book of prophets. So the second division in the Hebrew Bible. And the third is the writings. That's the Psalms, the Proverbs, you know, even First, Second, Second Chronicles. So all the others, so that's how they divide the Bible, okay, the Old Testament, because Hebrew Bible only has Old Testament. So whenever the Bible mentions that to Jewish people that Moses and all the prophets means refer to the whole scripture of the Jewish Bible. Okay, that's what it means. Okay, so Jesus what? Giving them a what? A Bible study. Okay, along the way as they're walking. Imagine that we have a song, we have an old hymn called what? In the Garden. That it talks about what? Jesus walked with me and talks with me. You know, we still so wonderful. Now these people, these two disciples, not knowingly that Jesus was walking with them, is giving them a 2 to 3 hours Bible study and telling them that from the Bible, it points out that that's going to happen. That is the gospel, okay? Next. And what's the gospel? Okay, briefly, it just tells us the gospel is Jesus died as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, and after 3 days had risen from the dead to defeat Satan, sin, and death. Okay, now this is very simply put, but if you need to know what the real meaning of atoning sacrifice, you need to go back to the Levitical law set up by God in the Old Testament times. That everything they do there, every animal sacrifice, you know, that's the book that sometimes, you know, you go to read because you couldn't sleep. And then after you're reading a few chapters, you fall asleep, you know, so because it's not easy to read because it just tells you a lot of details, a lot of numbers, you know, and what do you do and other steps. So, but that is the foundations, okay? And that is points forward to Jesus Christ. Okay, is what? When Jesus came, he will be the sacrifice. But his sacrifice is once and for all. You only need to sacrifice one time. In the Old Testament time, they have the priest that they have to offer what? Year after year, especially on the Day of Atonement. Day of Atonement is what in Hebrew, what they call it, Pastor Scott, that Yom Kippur, you know, on our calendar, Yom Kippur, you know, and some of your Jewish colleagues, co-workers, They might not come to work. You know, that was Yom Kippur. You know, so it's a day of atonement. They have to go in there and sacrifice. But that problem is they have to sacrifice year after year. The same thing, because the animal sacrifice never really took away man's sin. Okay? But that is the way God has provided for man to be forgiven until the time Jesus came. Okay? When Jesus came, he offered once and for all, and Jesus is the high priest that can enter into the most holy place, or the holiest of holy, to offer the blood, because in this blood for sin to be forgiven. And the blood is not from animal, it's not from goats, from ram, from bull. It's what? It's from him. It's from Jesus' blood. He takes it in to the holiest of holy, that sacrifice, so that our sins can be forgiven. And at that time, as soon as Jesus go into the holiest of holy and offer that, we know that the veil that separate the most holy place, the holiest of holy, and the sanctuary is broken, right? It's torn. So therefore, there's an open way from now on for us that we can go to God directly. That was the meaning of it. That's what it points towards. Okay. Now, therefore, there are some questions I would like to pose to you. That as the disciples never did. I'm going to skip some of it because of the time. Okay. And Jesus gave them that's okay. Just leave it there. It's okay. I would pose some question to you now, that do you live by faith or you live by sight? The disciple didn't see Jesus' body, so they assumed something happened. They did not see a live, talking Jesus, which actually was with them. They failed to see him, and therefore they assume him is dead and is somewhere else. Do we sometimes have the same thing, that we want to only believe in things that we can see, and we do not believe things by faith? And also, as we read the passage earlier, that the women, when they saw the empty tomb, they ran, and also to tell others. When the angels told them Jesus arrived alive, he went to tell the others. Do we have the same passion? Do we have the same desire, like these women, that we would tell others about the gospel, about that Jesus is alive and he can save us? Do we do that? Do we remember the details in the Bible? Do we understand it? Or sometime in a certain part of the Bible we do not understand, we just let it slide. We just, you know, don't bother to spend time and study it. Or do we spend time to study God's word so that we can know better? And as the passage tells us, what? When Jesus explaining the gospel to them, how did he do it? He did a Bible study with them. So actually, when we open our Bible, when we read the Bible, when we read God's word, we are seeing Jesus right in there. Okay. And if you have, this year, our church theme is Live as Witnesses. So mission is our main thrust of our ministry this year. Do you have the burden to share the gospel with others? How do you do it? Just to tell people what the gospel means? Here, if you would pay attention to Jesus' example, what is his example? His example is he would do a Bible study with somebody who can share the gospel. Okay, so you can do Bible study with people. I would call the old and traditional way of evangelizing. You study the Bible so that the people can see Jesus in there. Okay, and also some people, seeing the two disciples going from Jerusalem to Emmaus as what? At the opposite direction that they should go. Because Jerusalem is the center of spiritual things. Jerusalem is the city of the cross. Jerusalem is the city of resurrection. Jerusalem is where the Holy Spirit came to the people. Jesus told them to stay in Jerusalem to receive the Holy Spirit. So all those things are happening in Jerusalem, and these two disciples, they are going away from Jerusalem to Emmaus. So some people say that, well, because they were disappointed. So do we have the same thing when you're disappointed? Maybe you are mad at somebody at church, or maybe you are mad at the church even, that you would shy away and not from serving. Do you or other things that because in your life that stress you out, then you would not full-heartedly serve God? Now, these are things that you need to think about, and these are things that you need to reflect on, okay? And as a takeaway from today's sermon, I want you to remember that there are five things you can remember. First is remember God's word, trust it. Now, if the disciples and the women remember God's word and they trust it, they would not have that stressed out scenario that and running around trying to figure out what happened to Jesus' body. If they remember God's word and trust, it will happen. Because whatever God says will certainly come to pass. There's no if and or but. Second is we have to remember God's promises and rest in them. So if God has promised that his son would die on the cross and the third day would be raised, believe in it. And if God promises that if we put our trust in Jesus Christ and repent our sins, we can have eternal life. If you have remembered that and you trust that, then you may have rest. And also, see Jesus in his word. So when we open the Bible and we study God's word, you will find Jesus there. You will meet him there. And on a passage that we didn't get time to go over, that was afterwards, after Jesus disappeared from the two disciples, the disciples talking to each other. They say, well, when Jesus was teaching them the scriptures, the Bible, what? The heart burned. Heartburn, not because you got indigestions. Heartburn because, well, you got a warm feeling, okay? Don't you sometimes when you read the Bible, when you read it, you get that warm feeling, okay? And when you come to service, when you get close to God, do you have that warm feeling? Or you have a cold feeling? Or you don't feel anything? Okay? Go, you should have that warm feeling. You have that burning desire. That is also another word, a burning in your heart means it's passion. You got to have passion. You got to have passion for life. You got to have passion in everything. You got to have passion in serving him. And also, today we'll be observing the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper, the main purpose is to remember what Jesus has done for us. And so here, when we observe the Lord's Supper, we also see Jesus. Okay, we also see Jesus. And In all these things, even though Jesus was crucified and was buried, he was dead, seems like Jesus was defeated. God is defeated. What happened in the end? We know that what? God wins, right? And Jesus came back to life, and God is always in total control. He's sovereign, and his purpose cannot be thwarted, cannot be changed. And I hope everyone remember that, especially when the Easter season is approaching. Thank you.
Thanks, Deacon Eddie. Thanks for the reminder that